This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
On a Tuesday night, we welcome you in. It is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to have you with us today. If you would like to get involved with the program, you can certainly do so by calling, texting, tweeting, or leaving a voicemail message. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or you can leave a voice message, like I mentioned, on the Odyssey app. And for those of you who are watching the show via YouTube and everywhere else that we happen to be, just you can leave a comment there, and we will certainly be taking a look at those. Lots of ways to stay in contact with us here on Sports Open Line, and certainly will give you an opportunity to call in and share your thoughts. Here's what largely what we're doing today and tomorrow is very much previewing the Cardinal season, as we now have set information. We now know what the roster looks like. We know what the rotation looks like. I would contend, based off what we heard from Oliver Marmol in the dugout yesterday in Memphis, we kind of have an idea of what the lineup is going to look like to start the season. And it was something that, you know, it's been talked about a lot. Kevin and I just talked about it during the Redbird Rush Hour. I know they talk about it on Gas House Gang. Like, there's been a lot of discussion about it, but I think what I'm seeing, I'm pretty happy with from a lineup construction standpoint. And again, of all the people you hear talking baseball on KMOX, I'm probably the person who puts the least amount of worry into lineup construction. I've always been the, hey, if you got good players, it doesn't really matter where you bat them. You're going to score a bunch of runs because you got good players. So, and that's an oversimplification of the truth, right? There is things that you want to accomplish inside of a lineup, and that's why we had so many spirited conversations during the Gas House Gang about whether or not Mason Wynn should bat in the leadoff spot. So it's not, lineup construction is not one of my passions. I guess that's where I'm going with here. It is not a passion for me, but it is something that can hold value. It is something that can help you steal a run here, steal a run there, things like that. And when I think the margin for error for this Cardinals team is going to be tiny. It's going to be minuscule. There are going to be some games this year where small moments determine whether or not you win or whether or not you lose. Yeah, I've always gone with the whole everybody wins 60, everybody loses 60 thing. So there's, you know, 42 games on the table. Let's just call it 40 games to make this conversation. And every time I say that, I always get the smart Alex that say, oh, well, look at the White Sox last year. They did this. Yeah. Are there teams that win less than 60 games sometimes? Yes. Are there teams that lose less than 60 games sometimes? Yeah, it happens. But generally speaking, the vast majority of baseball teams playing a 162-game schedule, everybody wins 60, everybody loses 60. So if there are only 40 games that are actually on the table to be won or lost, your entire season, whether you are one of the best teams in baseball or whether you are one of the worst teams in baseball, that is determined by 40 games, by 5 weeks' worth of baseball. We play 6 months of baseball, and essentially the season comes down to 5 weeks' worth of games. Not obviously 5 weeks in a row, but you get the point that I'm trying to make. So I would contend that this is a Cardinals team that is bluntly not good enough to just run away with a lot of those 40. There's no guarantee that they're going to even win most of the 40. I think as it sits right now, the Cardinals are very similar to who they were last year. I would suspect that the bullpen, which was historically good last year, I would suspect the bullpen takes a bit of a step back. I don't think Ryan Helsley is going to put together the season this year that he had this past year, but I still think he's going to be darn good. I still think the bullpen is going to be a strength. So I probably prefaced that statement in the wrong way, because if you're listening to me, the first thing you hear is me talk about the bullpen taking a step back, and it sounds like I'm saying that the bullpen's going to be bad. No, I don't think the bullpen's going to be bad. I just don't think they're going to be. You have to be lucky, generally, in baseball to be historically good. You could be really, really good just like based off talent and things, but when we're talking about historically good, and last year's bullpen performance from the Cardinals was one of the best bullpen performances in the history of the franchise, as much as talent goes along with that, as much as being put in the right situation goes along with that, and whether you like Oliver Marmol or don't like Oliver Marmol, and I know there is a vocal group of people out there that are not fans of Oliver Marmol, I think it's really hard to argue that he did not do a fantastic job with the bullpen. If you're a Pitchfork person that wants Oliver Marmol out of St. Louis, when you're making your points, you're probably not bringing up his management of the bullpen, because it was very good. It was really, really good. There are other things that we can talk about that maybe I think Marmol does a nice job on that you don't think he does a nice job on, and we can have that conversation and we can have an argument, and I can see your pathway and you can see my pathway, and we can disagree on things, and we can both have valid reasons for that. I think it's very hard to be critical of Oliver Marmol specifically when it comes to the way he managed the bullpen last year. So the bullpen probably takes a half step back. They're still probably very good. That would be my thought process. I think offensively, they take a half step forward. I'm not sure who's going to take what individuals are taking big steps forward. We talked about this earlier last hour with Kevin Wheeler, because Wheels wanted to do predictions. And my prediction is that Lars Nootbaar is going to put together a really solid season this year, that he's going to stay healthy and therefore put together a really solid season. I think things like that happening lead to the Cardinals being a little bit better offensively. So if the bullpen takes a half step back, if offensively you take a half step or a full step forward, you're probably pretty darn similar to who you were last season. And last season, you were a team that was above 500. Last year, you are a team that was in a playoff spot for a good chunk of the year. And you're a team that was in playoff contention for most of the year. Is there something that can happen in those 40 games that are on the table every year? Is there going to be something that can happen two or three times that can help you win a game here and win a game there and steal a game here and steal a game there? Are there things that can happen that can push you into being a team that can be a legit playoff team? That's going to be the question. And you look at the National League, I talk about the margin for error. you look at the National League, like I think there's a bunch of good teams. When I look at the National League East, I see three very good teams in the Mets, Phillies, and Braves. When I look at the NL West, I like the Dodgers. I like the Diamondbacks. I like the Giants. I'm not sure if I like the Padres or not. They were all right last year. I think the Padres might be on the cusp of taking a step back. But if they're right there in playoff contention, that wouldn't shock me. And the NL Central again looks to me like a division that's going to be a one team in terms of getting into the playoff division. So not a lot of margin for error. Where do the Cardinals stack up against other teams in the National League? All interesting questions. We'll certainly take your phone calls. We're going to have some guests on the show at the in our 20 segment, so that's like our next segment this hour, and then 7:20 as well. But outside of that, if you want to chime in today on anything that we're talking about Cardinals-related as we get you set for the season opener on Thursday, the home opener against Minnesota, we'll have it for a full day coverage here on KMOX. It's going to be a blast. I love opening day so much, and I cannot be any more fired up about this year's opening day than any other opening day. It doesn't matter, for me at least, and I know this isn't true for everybody, but for me at least, doesn't matter. That's the one day of the year where expectations for the team, just throw them out. Opening day is opening day, and it's one of the best days of the year, and I am fired up for it, and hopefully you'll be able to, if you're not going to the game and tickets are still available, join us for full coverage throughout the entire day. I don't think I mentioned this, by the way. I'm burying the lead because we didn't have a sports open line last night. We had Cardinals baseball with the game in Memphis. This is our first sports open line since we made the jump over to 104.1 FM. So maybe some folks out there are finding us for a first time. If you're somebody that didn't like going over to the AM dial, that's all right. You know, I drove to Memphis yesterday and drove back from Memphis today. And I got a little bit past Festus, and that's when 104.1 started to go out. Had the old Apple CarPlay all set up, so I just switched on over to the Odyssey app and listened to KMOX the entire drive. So many ways to listen to us. 104.1 FM, still on 1120 on the AM dial, still available on the Odyssey app. If you are with us from a video standpoint, we are streaming the show live on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else. You might find our video stream. So we will come to you. If you'll just come a little bit to us, we'll meet you wherever you happen to be. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up in just a moment. We roll on. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same-day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same-day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crystal clear sound indeed. Second day of KMOX being on 104.1 FM. We're so happy to have that signal, of course. We're still on 1120. I know a lot of people out of the St. Louis metro area were concerned about that. I heard from folks on social media because KMOX reaches pretty much the entire country after the sun goes down, and there's a lot of people outside of St. Louis, and I was one. For me, many years living away from St. Louis, I spent many a night driving around with KMOX on my car radio when I was in other cities. But so we're still on 1120, but you can find us on 104.1 FM. Very happy to welcome on to the program right now. He covers the St. Louis Cardinals for the Belleville News Democrat. He is Jeff Jones. You follow him on Twitter at JM Jones. Also, you can see all of his content on Blue Sky as well. Jeff, appreciate you taking some time. I saw you in Memphis yesterday. I assume safe travels back to the St. Louis area?
Safe travels back this morning, yeah. It's a much easier drive than I gave it credit for a long, long time. So I think a lot more trips down to Memphis to come for me, for sure.
Yeah, just you hop on 55 and you put the car on autopilot, right?
Just about right, yeah. And make sure to be aware that there are no open rest areas on the north side of 55 coming from Arkansas all the way up to the St. Louis Metro. So good to keep in mind for the planning.
All right, there you go. So everybody who wants to go check out a Memphis Redbirds. You know, I worked in the Pacific Coast League for years, but I was like the number two broadcaster with the AAA team I was with, so I didn't make all the trips. Last night was my first night ever in Memphis at that ballpark, and I was impressed. I know it's the ballpark's been around for a little while now, but they did a nice job, and with as many fans that were in there last night, I thought it was a really good environment.
Yeah, you know, it was my first night there as well, and I thought it was a really great AAA high-end presentation of a baseball game. I thought between the stadium atmosphere and the work that kind of the game day folks put in there, it was really like being in a Major League Baseball game. They did a tremendous job last night, and it was a great environment, and I'll be very, very happy to see the Cardinals get a chance to get back there more often in the coming years.
Yeah, absolutely, and the fans there showing up obviously is a big part of that. I think right now the number one concern for a lot of fans is Sonny Gray, and rightfully so, and we're all trying to kind of discern the information we're getting. He's been a little bit unhealthy here recently, but that doesn't result in his entire down spring. He had some lingering health issues from last year that kind of delayed the start of his offseason, so maybe he came in not quite as ready as some other guys. What's your concern level? What should fans' concern level be right now with Gray, where his fastball velocity is a tick down, and for whatever you want to take out of spring training numbers, they weren't especially good?
Yeah, I think it would be pretty unreasonable to not be a little bit concerned at this point, right? You know, you talk about the spring training numbers. I think that sometimes those can fool you a little bit, but when you look at the numbers that he was putting up, and particularly, you know, you mentioned the velocity being down. You're talking about a guy who gave up, I believe the number was 8 homers this spring, which is a pretty high number. Now, you know, there were some shenanigans with Roger Dean Stadium would be playing a little more favorably for hitters this spring than it has in years past, but I do think it's telling that last night, John Mozeliak, in speaking to us, you know, from the dugout there in Memphis, relayed comments that Sonny had made that, hey, you know, he's going to figure out a way to pitch through it. And if it means pitching a little differently, then he's going to be confident that he can figure it out. Now, you want to hear the confidence, I guess, if you're the Cardinals, but I think it's also fair to be concerned because this is a guy who has for a long time relied on his ability to get strikeouts. And if the velocity is down, that's going to change a lot of how he's able to pitch. And, you know, it's going to be a not small adjustment if he's not able to sort of find something pretty close to that velocity again.
While we're talking about potential velocity issues, Andre Pallante's velocity has been down this spring as well. Yesterday, in his first inning or so, we saw him 95-96, but then he settled in 92-93 on the fastball. Should we be concerned about that?
I would be a little less concerned about Pallante just because this spring was the first in a while where he kind of had a full build-up regular starter sort of workload in spring. And so maybe, you know, his arm's going to have more innings on it at this point in the calendar than it has in the last couple of years. It's not uncommon for guys as the spring gets steep to deal with, you know, just a little bit of dead arm, maybe not getting quite the jump that they want with the ball out of the hand, just based on, you know, the amount of innings that they're racking up kind of early in the calendar. So, you know, if things look about the same or not any better, I guess, for Pallante in the first handful of starts here, then maybe you start wondering about it. But I think for now you can be cautiously optimistic that he's going to be able to get himself at least pretty close to how we've been used to seeing him.
I feel like this entire interview has turned into should we be worried about this, but I'm going to be doing it again. Mason Wynn was working on a lot of stuff, was working on plate discipline, swing decisions. That was a big part of his spring. But the numbers for him offensively were bad. And he has a one-year track record. He doesn't have a multi-year track record. What should the concern level be for Wynn offensively?
Yeah, that for me is a little bit of a harder one, right? Because when you sort of look at that spring, as you mentioned, the production just flat was not there. The strikeout rate was higher than you'd want it, especially for a guy in his position. And, you know, we saw yesterday the lineup the Cardinals rolled out had Mason Wynn hitting ninth, and that's going to be the lineup on opening day. And you know, Mason last night after the game was really frank. He said, you know, I'm not delusional. I understand that my spring looked like what it looked like. And I think the comment that he made was that if he'd gone out and hit 350, then there wouldn't even be a conversation. But he didn't, and here we are. So, you know, it's, I guess the thing to say optimistically about Mason Wynn's spring is that no one is in denial about it, right? What you're not hearing from him is, well, the process was good. Well, I was working on X and Y. It was, that wasn't good enough, and we're going to figure it out. And so I think at least starting from there gives you maybe more confidence that they're going to be aggressive about figuring out the things that they can do to kind of get him right back on a productive track. Because I do think, you know, there is a lot that can be – there is a lot that is exciting about the ceiling of the offense the way that it's structured right now. The odds they reach that ceiling, that's, you know, that's going to be the rub, I think, for them. But there is a lot that you could see that could break in the right direction if it worked out that way.
Anytime one makes an assumption, you're running into a place where you might be incorrect. But I, along with many others, kind of made an assumption up until about a week ago or so that Nolan Gorman was in line to be an everyday guy, and it looked like Alec Burleson was, while he would play a lot, would kind of be the 10th guy. And, of course, it was an entire offseason where all we did was talk about Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman maybe being the two most important pieces. Now, as we sit at 6:28 p.m. on Tuesday, March 25th, it feels like Gorman is kind of the 10th guy, and Burleson is in a little bit of a better spot. Are you at all surprised by what I think is a little bit of a development there?
Yeah, a little bit, only because, you know, as you mentioned, Gorman is a guy who throughout the winter they were pretty clear was going to get priority at bats. You know, I think they were working under the assumption, under you know, the plan at least, that Nolan Arenado was going to be traded this winter and that third base would be Nolan Gorman, and he would have a chance to roll through it. And, you know, like a lot of us wrote about and talked about early in spring, that not happening created a situation where you would see that center field would be the squeeze, right? Because in theory, you could have Gorman at second, Donovan in left, Knut Barr in center, and it creates a tougher road for the guys who might otherwise be playing center field. What I think we did probably not give sufficient credit to, and this is where Victor Scott II deserves all the credit in the world, is that Victor, frankly, pushed the envelope and forced the issue, and then got to a point where Victor played so well, hit so well during spring that it was impossible to ignore. And by him asserting himself the way he did, you know, the trickle down runs the other direction, because if Victor's going to be in center, well, the Knut Barr has to be in left. And that leaves you choosing between Donovan and Gorman at second. And it's hard to argue with choosing Donovan in that scenario based on wanting to win ball games. Now, does that get you where you want to go with Nolan Gorman in terms of being able to evaluate him over the course of a season? It probably doesn't, and the Cardinals have been pretty upfront about that. You know, I did, both Mozeliak and Ali Marmol have said that they're going to try to find ways to find the bats for Gorman, but they've also not said what those ways are going to be, and I think it's because they really don't quite know yet. And so it's just going to be, how does it develop? Who's hitting? Who's not? And where can they squeeze him in? Yeah, it's definitely less of a priority than you may have thought even 2 months ago.
When speaking about Victor Scott II, there's some people out there that say, well, he had the strong spring last year as well, and that didn't play out. I always push back on that because the numbers look different. All the extra, he had one extra base hit in spring last year. This year he has the four home runs, the triple and the double, and OPS at almost 1,200 compared to the 770 that he had last year. So to me, it feels different. That takes us to the next question that I'll ask you. Not sustainable, because he's not going to hit 350 with a 1,200 OPS in a Major League Baseball regular season, but how sustainable Victor Scott being a plus offensive player that you can put in the lineup, is that something that you expect to see?
You know, the interesting thing about Victor Scott is that he doesn't even really have to be that much of a plus offensive player to hold the spot down, right? Because when you look at him defensively, he's very much improved out there. And a lot of folks look at Victor Scott and they see the minor league gold glove and they see the speed. And I think that's a guy who's automatically, you know, a top 10, top five outfielder in the league. Not necessarily. Victor has had a history of not having maybe like the best route decisions you've ever seen. You know, the arm is what it is. It's average for a center fielder, but average for a center fielder is not, you know, blow you away kind of strong. But he looked a lot better, I think, positionally, you know, defensively this spring. And as you mentioned, the numbers are different offensively. You know, last year, I think to the Cardinals' credit, they had sort of realized that the things that Victor did well early in spring were probably not sustainable and were not trending in a good direction. I mean, he had not made the team. Had Dylan Carlson not gotten hurt on literally the last day of spring, Victor Scott would have started the year in Memphis last year. But Carlson got hurt, and the ball got rolling down the hill, and there was really nobody else who could kind of pick it up and take over center the way that Victor was able to. So, you know, that was a situation where out of need, they were forced to bring him into a spot where this year, the path of least resistance would have absolutely been for him to start in Memphis. I mean, he forced the issue based on his performance and based on what they've seen from him primarily at the plate, but also kind of evolving as a defender and also getting more comfortable, confident as a base runner, like being able to take those chances, being willing to take bags on guys in ways that, you know, last year we didn't really see Victor use his biggest tool, in part because he wasn't on base that much. And in part because when he was, I think there was a little bit of hesitation of, you know, it's been such a struggle. Do I want to risk an out here? But now he looks like a much more comfortable, confident guy who's going to be able to use those legs the way that really benefits his game.
When Mason Wynn got a little bit banged up yesterday, turned that ankle, I started having flashbacks to last year, the Carlson-Walker collision in Arizona. I thought to myself, yeah, the Cardinals are never going to play a non-Florida exhibition game to wrap up spring again if Mason Wynn gets injured in this game.
Yeah, I was looking out of the dugout waiting to see, like, Secret Service descending on Jose Barrero to kind of package him in some bubble wrap and get him out of there as quickly as possible. But thankfully, all is well. Mason was sort of ducking out of the way of really throwing his ankle buckled on him, but he's 100% good to go.
Jeff Jones, he covers the Cardinals for the Belleville News Democrat. He's on Twitter at JM Jones. Also find him on Blue Sky. How do you – okay, I'm not a Blue Sky. I'm not on Blue Sky. Is it JM Jones dot – do I say at – like, be? Do I spell it out? Like, what's the correct way to say this?
That is an incredibly good question that I don't know the answer to. I think that if you just search for the same username, it should pop up right there because I think the .bsky.social is the default. So just search for JM Jones on that platform if you're over there, and I'll actually be easy enough to find.
Okay, .bsky.social. That sounded good. I'm going to go with that. I like that.
There you go.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the time.
Anytime. Thanks, Matt.
You bet. There's Jeff Jones from the Belleville News Democrat joining us here on the program. Like I mentioned, we're here. Sometimes people get on me a little bit. They say, hey, Paulie, the name of the show is Sports Open Line. Where are the open lines? Where are they? Don't you know the name of the show? Don't you know the history of KMOX? Don't you know the history of this show that you're hosting? What are you doing, man? Why are you just talking? Why are you yammering on and on and on and on and on? Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air. You can leave a voice message if you would like. We are available to you on the Odyssey app. So if you're listening to the Odyssey app, just leave a voice message, and that comes into us. So many ways to get connected. How are you feeling about the Cardinals? More positive? More negative? Got any thoughts on what we saw yesterday from a lineup standpoint? Are you fired up about the fact, like I am? I thought I liked the lineup, and I like Lars Nootbaar in the leadoff spot, and I like the speed at the bottom of the order. How are you feeling about things? We'll gladly take all the different ways that you can communicate with the show. We are with you till 8 o'clock coming up this evening. Of course, we do have one more guest at about 7:20. Good friend St. Louisan, Danny Wexelman, who does a great job covering Major League Baseball nationally. She is going to join us, so we've got a lot coming up. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Good start to spring, but then slowed down. Ooh. He hits this one deep to left field. Fermin goes back at the track. He's looking up. That is just clearing the wall and a home run. Nolan Arenado, a three-run shot just barely. If that wall would have been about a foot higher, that's off the wall for a double. Instead, Arenado hits a dinger, a three-run shot, and the Cardinals strike first here in the top of the first inning. It's 3-0.
Ends up that would be the only run scoring for the Cardinals yesterday when they beat the Memphis Redbirds 3-2 to wrap up exhibition play. And for Arenado, it was good to see him hit that home run. And the question remains, what is Arenado going to look like this season? Because all the underlying numbers tell you that he was different this year in spring than he was the last couple years. We've seen that bat speed slowly kind of, not even slowly, we've just simply seen it depreciate over the last couple years. He spent an entire offseason doing things that you don't chase bat speed. You try to do things that make you a better hitter, and bat speed is a result of it. You know, that's always, we have that conversation all the time when it comes to launch angle. You're not looking for launch angle. You're not chasing launch angle. You are chasing a really good swing and a really good approach, and launch angle is a result. It's not an apples to apples comparison because there are some things that you can do to try to speed up your bat speed, but at the end of the day, that is also in some ways a byproduct of the work that you are putting in the offseason to become a better hitter. And if Arenado takes a big step forward this year, it goes a long way towards the Cardinals scoring more runs. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air. Leave a voice message on the Odyssey app. Let's go to Mike, who is listening to us from Oklahoma City. Hey, Mike, you're on Sports Open Line. Mike, you're on the air.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I want to make a prediction that Nolan Arenado, that he's going to turn out to be a good player this year.
Yeah, Mike, appreciate the phone call. I tend to agree. I think he's going to take a step forward. Now, we were talking about this during the Redbird Rush Hour today, during the 5 o'clock hour. If you're a Sports Open Line, like a loyal Sports Open Line listener, and you haven't heard about all of our changes that we have here on KMOX, Kevin Wheeler and myself do a baseball show now during the 5 o'clock hour leading into Sports Open Line called Redbird Rush Hour, and the Gas House Gang show, which we'd been doing digitally, it has moved on air 12 to 1. Wheels and I are not quite as involved in that show now because it's Chris Ranji and Tom Ackerman and Bernie Miklas and Mike Claiborne and some other folks. Wheels and I kind of take the night shift, and those guys take the daytime shift. But yeah, look, Wheels and I were talking about this last hour, and there was a story in The Athletic written by Saris, where he looked at the data and he looked at the bat speed and he predicted a 30 home run season for Nolan Arenado. I don't know if I'm that bullish on that kind of season for Arenado, but do I think the man can take a step forward offensively? I'm not trying to be rude about the season that he had last year, but his power was gone. He didn't have it last year. He still hit for an okay average. He hit 272. Felt like he did a nice job of everybody on the – if I had to choose one player to be at the plate last year when there was runners on in scoring position in a year that was, you know, historically bad in that category for the Cardinals, Arenado was my guy. He had 71 RBIs last year, but the power was just gone. Of his 157 hits that he had last year, about 40 of them went for extra bases. He had 23 doubles and 16 home runs. That's not enough. So as much as, you know, the idea of him being a 30 home run guy is, you know, you kind of dream on that, as much as you would love that to be a thing, I think it's just as important that he puts it in the gap and gets it to the wall and starts hitting more doubles. That's going to be a big, big key for Arenado. And We've seen glimpses of it in spring this year. Again, he hits the home run yesterday. I'm not just trying to repeat everything that I said to Kevin earlier, but I will say this. Where I pump the brakes a little bit on Arenado, what gives me just a little bit of pause is the fact that his underlying numbers were really, really good when spring training started. They weren't as good when spring training ended. So what that says to me is everything is still kind of moving. He has yet to settle in on whoever he's going to be this year. And things change. You know, if you get banged up in the year, all of a sudden that can change underlying number. Like, there's a lot to, there's nothing that guarantees that once you get to that point, that it's just a static situation and you are going to stay in that spot moving forward. And I'm not trying to say that, and I'm not trying to bore you and hit you over the head with numbers that you might not care about because they're not baseball card numbers. I get all of that. But when there is a projection that is made that says Arenado's going to be a 30 home run guy, and when that projection is based upon, largely based upon, not just, but largely based upon his improved bat speed from what he was last year to what he was in spring this year, yet at the same time, it doesn't really feel like he has yet settled in to whatever that bat speed's going to be, that's where I start to pump the brakes a little bit, and I just want more information. I love the idea of Nolan Arenado as a 30 home run guy. And then that creates two options that you have. If he's a 30 home run guy and you're having a really good season as a team and you're in playoff contention, you're in divisional contention, which I think all those things are possible. I don't know if they're likely, but I don't think they're impossible by any stretch of the mind. The division is terrible. If that happens, well, you keep the man on your team and you roll with it and you just keep going and you see how far you can go with that kind of player in your lineup. The other thing is if the team is not playing well, or if there's a team in the division that is starting to run away with things, or let's go to a scenario where Nolan Gorman isn't getting as many opportunities as you would like him to get, but in the opportunities he has shown that the changes he made this offseason have resulted in actual change, that there is a legitimate step forward and there is interest for Arenado on the trade market, you will get more for him on the trade market when he is performing at a fairly high level as compared to trying to trade him this offseason when he was coming off a down season where he had essentially turned into a singles hitter, right? So, you know, this is not a... You look at his last 2 years, he was a 272 hitter this past year, a 266 hitter in 2023, but in many ways, 2023 was a better year. The batting averages were not that far off from each other, just 6 points, but 2023, 26 home runs, last year, 16. Had a few more doubles in 2023. The OPS was higher, 774 versus 719. So if you've got a Nolan Arenado who's going to be a 25 to 30 home run kind of guy, who once again shows the power that he has shown previously in his career, there's going to be a decision for John Mozeliak and company to make coming up on the trade deadline, because that's going to be a piece that there's going to be interest in. And I would suspect, just by, you know, things are going to happen, I would suspect at that point some of the teams that Arenado had on his list of teams that he would accept a trade to, that they would absolutely be interested in him. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Starting to get a few text messages as well. We'll get to those coming up in our next hour. Do want to mention the Blues really quickly, because, I mean, they're worth mentioning more than really quickly, but they are, man, are they playing some good hockey right now, and it's compelling what's going on right now with the Blues. They are in action this evening at home as they match up against Montreal. We'll talk a little Blues hockey coming up in our next segment as we roll on in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We're back at it here on KMOX. Great to have you with us for a Graybar Sports Open Line. So we're back on the video stream. Hello to everybody who is watching on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and wherever else you happen to listen. We've done it, and then we stopped doing it, and then we started doing it, and we stopped. Like, it's just been kind of a back and forth sort of thing. But now that we have our KMOX Sports YouTube channel is really kind of turning into something with all the different sports programs that we have. And Whether it's the Gas House Gang at noon and the Redbird Rush Hour. So we'll probably do this. So encourage you to like and follow and do all that sort of stuff with KMOX Sports on YouTube. And you can indeed follow along with us. And then you can just comment and say things just the same way that you would text in. And we'll keep an eye on that. Something that if you're watching it or if you're listening to it and you've just got a thought, the extra inning show that we do after Cardinals games where we take phone calls and text messages and all that. Should we start doing that on the video stream as well? An opportunity to bring in more folks for the extra inning show when it comes to that. So if you've got an opinion on that, if you'd like for the extra inning show to be on the video stream as well, let me know and we'll consider it. We'll prayerfully consider going into Thursday's home opener with the Cardinals and the Twins matching up against each other. Blues are in action tonight. I'm not going to sit here and break down the X's and O's of what they're doing well right now. We have 2 minutes to talk about this. We haven't had a lot of sports open lines. I was off a lot of last week. I haven't had the opportunity to talk to you about what's going on right now with this team. And I was thinking about the last time that I was this fired up about the Blues. And I know exactly when it was. It's since the Stanley Cup. It was the playoff series against Colorado where Binnington ends up getting hurt and they lose that series. And I am of the belief that they had a very good chance of winning that series had Binnington not got hurt. Colorado was really, really good that year. There's no guarantee. I'm not going to sit here and say, I hear people say it all the time. Oh, they would have won that series with Binnington. They may have. They may have won that series with Binnington. That was the last time that I was fired up about the Blues. It has been, since then, it's been somewhere between just the team being terrible and the team being a team that you're just going to be apathetic towards. And it finally has come together. I was at a game the other night, the night that they that they really put it on Anaheim when they won that game 7-2. That was the Braden Schenn honor when he was honored before the game. And just the feeling of what was going on in that building, and that was at the beginning of this winning streak. That was the second game of this winning streak. I think it took a little longer than anybody expected for the Montgomery effect to really impact this team. And we know that you have that new coach bump at the beginning, but eventually that kind of wears off. And that wore off, and then it kind of just looked like same old Blues for a while. Like they have good moments and not so good moments. And look, I don't know what's going to happen here over the next few weeks. It's hard to win as many games in a row as they have won at this point. They've won 6 in a row, and maybe I'm going to be fooled by this team again, but this feels real. This feels sustainable. This feels like something that people can be legitimately excited about, and we'll see what they do against Montreal tonight. Just keep collecting. You got all those teams with games in hand. Calgary the other day, 3 more games left than the Blues. Just crazy. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.